Welcome, everyone, to episode 38 of the Fast and Fabulous podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Montone. I'm a full-time mom, wife, fasting coach, and podcaster. My entire adult life was always centered around losing weight and got exceptionally difficult after having children. I had tried everything. Pills, shakes, counting calories, over-exercising. I was the ultimate yo-yo dieter. Until January 2020, when I discovered clean intermittent fasting. 3 years later, I'm down 50 plus pounds, but most importantly, I've been able to maintain a healthy weight and ditch diet brain for the first time in my adult life. So stop counting calories and stick with me, because we all have the power to lose weight and keep it off naturally. Best of all, it's absolutely free. Please remember to consult your physician before embarking on an intermittent fasting lifestyle. Also, please do not use any of the following information in place of medical advice. This episode is brought to you by the Fast and Fabulous Patreon community. You know, I'm always receiving messages asking how you can support the show and help us get the word of intermittent fasting out, and now you can do just that. There's only one level of membership to keep it as simple as possible. For only $6.99 a month, you can not only support the show, but you will also get something in return. When you join, you will enjoy early access to each episode, connect with other intermittent fasters around the world, access to our monthly Zoom meetups where we can connect privately on a variety of topics, and much more. To join, please visit the link in the show notes. And for those interested to connect with me, to book a consultation, or learn more about my personal one-on-one coaching, please visit fastandfabulouspodcast.com. Okay, guys, I'm thrilled today to have Lisa Evers on the show. Lisa is a former elementary school teacher from Canada and has suffered her entire life with digestive issues. She has always been aware of what she was eating, and she would notice how she would feel afterwards. When she was younger, it was IBSD, then moved to constipation, and she was shortly thereafter diagnosed with hypothyroidism in her early 20s. After that diagnosis, she was worried that weight gain was going to become a side effect, so she started to do all the things to make sure that did not happen. She never had a weight issue and almost became obsessed with making sure she never had one. Lisa did all the things, not to gain weight, to stay fit, while trying to monitor her digestive issues. This craziness went on for 30 years. And then she found intermittent fasting, and the rest of the story is now just about freedom. All the obsessions are starting to fade away, and her mind is clear to think of the things that are really important in her life. Lisa is so excited to share this mental health, self-awareness, and self-image journey with you. Enjoy. I have this morning with me Lisa Evers. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here and share my story.
And I am equally as excited to hear it and to meet you virtually. You're looking lovely this morning. I want to know, every single time I talk to somebody new, I want to know what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Okay. So my story is a little bit different. I'm sure you've heard, actually every story is very different. So, yes. But this is not a story of weight loss. This is a story of, I was calling it at first mental weight loss, but I'm going to just change it and call it mental weight release, because if something's lost, you kind of intend to want to find it again. And I never want to find this again, what was going down. So I'll try to make a super long story short, because this is like a almost 30-year journey for me.
Wow.
So for my whole entire life, I've had digestive issues since I was a baby. My mom was doing stuff to help me back in the 70s, putting stuff in my formula, all that jazz. So I kind of grew up with having digestive issues. So as I got into like my late teens, early 20s, I was always IBS, like diarrhea. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. Something changed. I became the other way. Around that time, I was also diagnosed with hypothyroidism.
Okay.
So for all those years, I was monitoring what I ate, what makes me feel good, what doesn't make me feel good. Obsessed almost with it.
Right.
So then when I got diagnosed with this hypothyroidism, and I knew I wasn't feeling great. I was tired all the time. But at the age that I was at that time, it was popular to like be mindful of how you looked. So, you know, 90210, all that stuff was out. So like everybody was super thin. So my whole goal was to stay the way that I was, which is just as damaging to your brain and your mental health as it is if you have a lot of weight that you want to lose, because in the end, you're still not happy with yourself.
Yeah.
You're still trying to reach. So I wasn't trying to reach a goal, but I was trying to stay the same, which was paralyzing.
That's a good way. Because
the thoughts were always there.
Mm-hmm.
So I get this diagnosis. I'm like, I cannot gain weight. This is what everybody's telling me. Oh, you have hypothyroidism. Oh, here's what's going to happen next. Like all the stuff was said to me that was making me fearful. So that's when I was doing, like, I don't know if you guys have it in the States, but we had something here called Proenzy 99. And it was like a pill
okay.
that you could buy off the market. It was supposed to like jazz you up a little bit. It had caffeine in it. And that was the last thing I needed, was to be jazzed up, because I'm already pretty jazzed up. But I was like, okay, well, then I'll take this. And it was probably not good with being on thyroid medication, but you know, it was just something that I did. Not a lot of people knew about that. I kind of kept all this stuff like a secret and how I was feeling, because I knew that people probably would have thought I was ridiculous. So fast forward a little bit, get married, have babies. After babies, it was like, okay, here comes a Slim Fast. And I would go to the States and get it because it came in pre-made cans so that I could just drink it. So I was already thinking about that. I wasn't a mom that breastfed, so I was like, okay, I can get on this stuff right away. It was always at the forefront of my mind to remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't healthy. So after kids, and then I got into like the health and fitness industry. I'm an early childhood educator by trade. So I work with kids 0 to 6. So then I was like, oh, I can do that and do something else. Because I was gaining an interest in health and fitness, more health and fitness than these thoughts. I also used all my digestive issues as a little bit of a safety net as to some of the things I was doing. Oh, I can't eat that because it won't make me feel well. Well, it didn't, but I also had an ulterior motive of it's not going to change the way I look. So right. I was demonizing things like bananas.
Right.
Like good things. Okay. So wheat products, not all are bad. Dairy, not all these things are bad. Starchier things, but bananas.
Because everything was bothering you, virtually everything.
It was. And if it wasn't bothering me digestively, it was bothering me here, because I'm like, oh, that's going to make me gain weight. I need to stay this way.
Sure.
It was so unhealthy. And I went at this for quite a few years. So then I got into the health and fitness industry, took my personal training certificate, starting to learn a little bit more. But then now I'm learning, because this was probably in the mid to early 2000s, eat 5 to 6 small meals a day. Okay. So this is when I tried all the other things. Now I'm eating 5 to 6 small meals a day. Now I'm carb cycling.
Right.
I've done all the things, you know, paleo. Not terrible, but I was doing it still for the wrong reasons.
Sure.
What was the other one? Whole 30.
Oh yes. That's a good one.
And so, but I was constantly on some type of elimination diet.
Sure.
Just because I was like, what is not making me feel good? And then dealing with my thyroid issues and wanting to stay the same, at least I had built along this time some healthy habits. So consistency, I was starting to build some healthy habits with consistency, with drinking more water, working out, up until May of 2022. This is how I was living.
Okay.
In secret, some people knew about it because they're, oh, there, she's not eating this right now, or I'd have dinner with my parents. Can you have this? Or different with hanging out with my friends and having dinner with my friends. Are you eating that right now? It was always like Lisa was always doing something.
Right.
But the reasons why I was doing it was not what everybody knew about. Yes, it was for digestive issues, but it was also for the other issues where I wasn't feeling good about myself. I didn't have a good mental self-image.
Okay.
Even if I liked the way that I looked and how clothes fit me and whatnot, I still feel like my mental self-image was suffering. So now on to intermittent fasting. I was just Googling something and this article came up and it was about how autophagy can help with people who have hypothyroidism. And I was like, oh, I dug into that article. Then I started down the rabbit hole, which brought me to intermittent fasting. And I started right away. I had just done by Google. So the first 2 months from May to July of that, so that would have been last year, were not clean.
Okay.
It was apple cider vinegar or lemon juice in my water every morning, because that's what I had done for 15 years, because that's what I thought I was supposed to do for my digestion.
Sure.
So didn't hurt me back then, but then I was like, oh, I am white knuckling. I am struggling with how do people get to 16 hours? Because I was not going to settle for anything less than 16 hours because of some of the research that I had done.
Sure.
Fell upon Instagram page that was about fasting. And I had just randomly reached out, must have been divine timing. I said, if you could recommend any reading material, what would it be? And it was Fast, Feast, Repeat.
Nice.
Got it from my public library that day, finished it by the next day. And I was like, that's why I can't get past 16 hours, or I'm white knuckling it, or I'm feeling like whatever, because of this lemon juice or this apple cider vinegar.
Wow.
So from then, the rest is history. Easily get through, like the next day. So it would have been like July 12th. By the time I finished reading the book and started clean fasting, I'm like, I can easily get to 17 or 18 hours.
Isn't it such a difference when you realize, because a lot of people do start out that way. They start out, they don't know. And they think that just because they're not consuming food, they're fasting and it's okay. But then they're struggling. Like, how do I get past, how do these people do this? These people are crazy, 16 hours without eating. But once you change and you do a clean fast, how quickly did you feel better and feel less like you were white knuckling?
Like 2 days, it was all the difference.
Insane.
It was, I almost didn't believe it because I was like, no, this can't be, it can't be that quick. But because I'd already been doing, I think, so well for the first 2 months, I made it through. I did the hours and it was, it might've been different if I was drinking coffee and adding cream and sugar to things, but I'm talking like a splash of lemon juice, or it's still enough to do the things to your brain and to your body. But
absolutely,
as soon as I got rid of that, I was like, oh, this is way easier. Not saying I haven't had days that are hard, but it was,
of course,
instant. 2 days.
Yes.
It is probably the most important first step to take.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You got to make sure you're fasting clean. And for anybody who is listening that may be new to this world, fasting clean is what I base this podcast on. And it's based on the fact that when you're fasting, you don't have any flavors. There's no flavors, none at all, because that will automatically release insulin and your body will expect food. You will white knuckle through your fast. So if you are just starting out, be sure to read Fast, Feast, Repeat by Jen Stevens. It's very important. It's like the fasting Bible, and it will teach you, just like Lisa got taught, all about clean fasting and why we should be clean fasting. And if you're not clean fasting, in my opinion, you're not really fasting. You might see some success in the beginning if you're dirty fasting. However, you will eventually hit a wall, whether it's just like on your health journey or a weight loss journey or both. So you initially were dirty fasting, you got into clean fasting, and then what happened after things got easier for you?
I felt freedom.
Oh, I love that.
So at first, and I'm still dealing with some things with appetite correction, just because I spent almost 30 years of restricting.
Of course.
It was so many, I can't have this, or I shouldn't have this, or that's going to bug my stomach, or whatever the thought pattern was, doesn't matter. It was still all that I can't. Or then I'd be like, okay, well, I haven't had anything super sugary or terrible or whatever in a long, long time. So then I would eat something like that, and then I would instantly not feel good because my body had been like, what did you just do to me?
Right.
So then when I first started fasting, I was eating all the things. It was because I kind of went the opposite for a little while. I was like allowing, I didn't go crazy, crazy, but it was enough that I was like, oh, so wait, pizza doesn't bother my stomach. Hold on. This other food doesn't bother my stomach. This doesn't make me feel yucky. It was probably all the digesting I was constantly doing. Doesn't matter that it was mostly all good food. It was nonstop. I was digesting from the time I got up to the time I wasn't eating too far. I was always eating like far enough away from bedtime, but I was still eating these 5 to 6 small meals a day. I was constantly doing something to my system.
Yeah.
So when I started introducing a few more things back in, I'm like, okay, I feel kind of good because I'm not, you know, my system was like starting to heal itself. So I had almost 30 years of these other habits and restricting to now I'm like allowing some of these things back in and realizing I'm not feeling horrendous. So yeah, there was a little bit of a time where I was like, okay, I'm going to have this and I'm going to have this, but I'm going to have this.
That must have been such an amazing, like you said, feeling of freedom, but also just like, gosh, being so deprived for so long. And then you realize it's not what you're eating, it's when you're eating, and you're not giving your digestive system enough time to rest. So when we start to fast, and somebody with us, like Lisa here, who had IBS, how long did you, into your fasting journey, did you really start to take notice that your IBS was starting to improve?
So I have to be completely transparent here because I do still have a sluggish digestive system.
Okay.
But I was maybe about 4 to 6 weeks in where I noticed the, because I'm thin, but I was constantly bloated.
Yeah.
Like, so I was probably that many weeks in, the 4 to 6 weeks in before I started to really, it might even have been 2 when I started to notice the bloat reducing, but like 4 to 6 weeks in, that even when I'm fasting, after I eat, my stomach didn't distend. Amazing. Energy levels, one of the main things that I'm super stoked about, plus with having thyroid condition, is energy levels and brain fog. I feel like I was like a walking, I don't know,
zombie.
I didn't even feel like I was, didn't even feel like I was like, did I drive to work today? I don't even remember driving to work today. So yeah, I felt a bit out of it. And I don't have those days anymore.
Good.
If my fast is a little bit too long, I can kind of tell because I'm like, ooh, I'm starting to like, you know, get a little brain foggy. I know I'm getting ready to eat. So I'm just learning to listen to my body. I never listened to my body. What I did was I was always listening to the plan, what I'm supposed to do on paleo, what I'm supposed to do when I did medical medium, what I'm supposed to do in this carb cycling, whatever plan I was on. I was never listening to myself. I was listening to the plan because that's what I thought I was supposed to do.
Yeah, because as humans, we're conditioned to say, okay, well, we need to be pointed in the right direction. We need a blueprint. But what we were really not grasping in this world of weight loss and health and fitness is that we are not all the same. So we can't all adhere to one blueprint. So you were just doing what you were told, which was, you know, carb cycling or keto or carnivore or paleo, whatever it might be. But for you, for your body, it was not working.
No. And all I was hearing was no. No wheat, no dairy,
right?
No eggs, no this.
Cut it all out. Oh, what can I eat?
So I had seen a naturopath and she's like, you are already like 4 weeks into the journey I would have taken with you because I would have put you on an elimination diet. She's like, you've already done this and documented it. And that's how it was. I was documenting it. I had journals. I had notes in my phone. I had it all. So I knew what was going on with my body. I'm like, why can I still not figure out? I don't feel good. You know? So it was the article that was about hypothyroidism and autophagy. And I didn't even know how to say the word at first. I had to ask a friend.
It's a hard one.
And got into it. And I was like, this is what I need. My body just needed a break. And then I started learning about all the good things that it can do. And so I even know if I'm, you know, because I'm a year and a half into my fasting journey, if I have a day where I feel like I would just call it nothing now, because it's my new normal to not have brain fog and to feel good and to have lots of energy, I know good things are going on the inside, even if I might not be cognizant of my actual feelings, but becoming in tune with it. So the freedom.
Yeah.
The freedom to eat. Now, I did go the other way for, like, I mentioned, like, a little while. I was like, oh, I'm going to eat all the things. But that didn't last long because I was like, okay, I ate all the things and now I don't feel that great. I kind of feel like I did before. Because, yes, there are still going to be some things that might trigger.
Of course.
Trigger me.
Yeah.
But before, I think my list of triggers was like this long. Now it's cheap milk chocolate. I don't feel great.
Yeah.
And any tea, decaf or not, I don't feel great with that. Empty stomach or full stomach, it just doesn't do my body any justice. And raw onions. I am down to like a list of three things.
That's
that bug
insane.
Me from, I thought this and this.
And now you can tolerate it and your IBS is much improved, I'm gonna assume at this point.
Much improved. And I got myself too on a good magnesium supplement, which my naturopath was very happy about that because almost everybody's deficient in that.
Yes.
That is another thing. I almost forgot. I was on a bucket full of supplements.
I was gonna ask you about med supplements from, you know, pre-IF. So yeah, let's talk about what supplements you were on and trying.
Oh, I took them all. I took all of them. digestive enzymes, HCL with pepsin in it. Anything that was good, supposedly, for the digestive system or anything good that I would think that would help blood sugar so I wouldn't have cravings. Well, no wonder why I was having cravings. I wasn't nourishing my body properly.
Sure. Yeah.
I wasn't doing what it needed. Or anything that out there at the time that might have been popular, I was like, oh, let me try that. I was like, no, I was not scared to try it to see if it would help me feel better. Laundry list of supplements down to, I take one before I eat. It's called Canadian Bitters. And it is bitters from, I don't know if there might be some geranium in there, maybe some ginger, things like that. That's what I break my fast with. Two dropperfuls of these Canadian bitters.
Interesting.
And magnesium. I take that within my window as well.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll take like an acidophilus, like a probiotic type supplement.
Okay. Yeah. And so, but like, that's way less.
And I drink kombucha now because I like it. I was drinking it before because I thought it was another supplement that I needed. I can't even imagine how much money I spent. If I would have wrote it down, I'd probably feel sick. Cause I'm talking like years. I was on many supplements.
I feel that. So. And I think a lot of people can probably relate to that. I was like you, I tried everything and I wasn't scared, whatever it was, put it down. I'll take it, a pill, whatever it is. I'll try it. And so I think it's really important that when we find intermittent fasting, that we're freed from all this crap and we can do what's best for our own unique body. We're not all made the same. So you didn't come here for weight loss. Most people come for weight loss and the health, you know, benefits are just a side effect. You came for the health benefits. You have seemingly succeeded in or improving your IBS. Is there anything else that you want to share about that you have had seen an improvement with in the past year and a half?
So I have to say, like, the mental health piece was paramount because I was so obsessed with staying the same that it was the same as somebody else struggling. It's the same force. It was the same thing that took over my body. As I'm going to assume that somebody else might be feeling struggling with something else. So, you know, you struggle to like want to lose weight and, you know, get to this healthy point. And I was struggling in my head because it's, I feel like in your head, it's the same struggle. Don't change. You can't change. You have to stay this way. It was just debilitating. So I have that freedom. I also had, I'll just have to use the word as an obsession. Like, you know, if you at boot camp, I did it, CrossFit, I did it, HIIT, I did it. The freedom now in my mind that when I go for an amazing walk outside and I get it going and I listen to some awesome music, that is a workout.
Oh yeah.
Don't underestimate the power of a good workout or a good walk. That can
Absolutely.
Be considered your workout. I was like, no, if I was not working out an hour, then why bother? Now it's like, oh, I can get 20 minutes in. Oh, only 40. I've only got 40 minutes. Do it, because it is actually better than probably that hour that I was forcing myself to do, raising other stress levels. So I feel like I was on a bike ride this summer with my husband. I said, I feel like I have a secret. Because not a lot of people are want it, first of all, want to hear about this. They're still quite either
closed.
It's the unknown or closed-minded or whatever. I said, I feel like I have a secret. And what an amazing thing that this is for me and my husband, that it has released so much anxiety and mental health. So this is a really unusual part. Last winter, even though I was fasting, something happened to me. I don't even know where my mind went. I was feeling so anxious. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like blaming perimenopause. I was blaming just anxiety. I was looking for excuses as to why I was feeling this way. I was in counseling and it came to me now that my mind was not constantly busy with food planning, meal prep. What am I going to do for a workout? Constantly thinking about how I'm going to stay the same and not gain weight and stay healthy and keep building muscle and all those things, my mind quieted down. I realized I was not in love with my job anymore because I quieted all the other things down so I could hear, but it came out as like anxiety. So in that journey, after I went to some counseling and I talked to my doctor, I was like, you know, I need something else. So a friend of mine is like a mindset coach. She's through the Pursuit Institute. And I was like, that's it. I'm diving in. And I got into this coaching program, which also helped me figure out like all my thoughts and all my feelings and how I can make these thoughts work for me instead of working against me. Because once I realized that my career wasn't really maybe where I wanted to be, that was like, that's like life changing, right?
Oh gosh.
Because I've been doing what I've been doing for almost 30 years. So
that is huge.
So I've overcome way more adversity than I thought I had, because, you know, as a mom and as a woman in this society, we just keep brushing ourselves, our thoughts and our needs and our everything under the carpet because we're busy with our families and our careers and society's pressures. So the one main thing I took away from all of that was I am no longer going to succumb to what society expects. Because just last Thursday, I handed in my resignation from a job where I have pension and benefits, but I need to do something else and I need to move on. And had I not started out with fasting to clear my body and my brain and everything else, I would have never ended up going to counseling and realizing what was the problem and then hiring my coach through Pursuit Institute and I probably would have never had the nerve to do this. So this is my very first podcast ever. And
you're
so
doing
excited.
Great. And you gain so much confidence when you, that deafening that we were talking about, that you can't hear your body. You can't hear anything. It's not just about eating. It's about your mental clarity. It's about feeling good about yourself, confidence. now it's like I could feel your confidence through the camera. I could feel it through, you know, the audio. I can definitely tell you are a confident person. And would I have known that a year and a half ago? Probably not.
It would have been a different person. And I've always had a very positive energy and been very energetic, but that when things were good, because things were good in my career until they weren't. And that's okay. Yeah. I'm so grateful. It served me and my family, and I was able to serve that population to the best that I could until I started feeling some changes and awareness. And for me to recognize that and I know that people would say that is not from fasting. No, for me, it was, because it released all the other things that were boggling up my mind. It is 100%. Nobody can tell me otherwise. It would have never led me down this path. I can't even tell you the list of freedoms that I feel because it's so long right now. But like, back to the bike ride. Here I am riding my bike with my husband. And I started talking to him about this. And he's like, I kind of feel the same way as a pressure to remain the same. Because we are a fit couple. And then, you know, people will say, oh, did you bring your own chicken? Like people like to joke with us, and we can handle it or whatever. And it was fine. But when you really start digging in to maybe some of those comments where people are not meaning to be rude or anything, but you just start thinking about it, it's like, yeah, there is that pressure in society to be a certain way, whether you need to lose the weight. You're never going to be good enough. You either need to lose weight, gain weight, stay the same. Like there's always some pressure of somebody else's idea.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's really letting loose of that idea and trying to move forward and not really adhere to what society wants of you. Why? Especially as females, and not to, you know, downplay your husband's comments at all, but I feel as females, we have the thumb on us a little bit harder with the pressure to stay the same. I mean, look what we're doing. It's insane. People are taking pills that are meant for diabetics to get skinny quick, and they're getting lots of fillers in their face and taking on major surgeries just to stay the same. But we found the secret sauce. So
no,
isn't that wonderful, right?
And I had that aha moment on this bike ride. And I'm like, I feel like I have a secret. But here's the one thing that I feel like might be holding me back a little bit is that I feel like I have a secret. But if I go to talk to people or mention it to people, I almost get the vibe that people don't want to listen to me because they don't know this journey that I've been on. They don't know how this mentally was debilitating for me and all the things that I have gone through. And this is me growing up in a normal household where my mom was not on diets. We did not talk about, like, if you can put together in your mind a beautiful childhood, that was mine. So I didn't get this paradigm from them. I got it all from society. So that's how strong it is.
Of course.
All that amazing, you know, guidance I had being raised. But I feel like people don't want to listen to me because, like, well, you haven't been through the same, you don't need to lose any weight. I feel like that is where I'm at right now. I maybe needed to lose weight and lost the weight, they'd be like, what did you do? Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like anybody wants to listen to the person who's been able, even though I didn't do it correctly for many years, nobody wants to listen to the person who's been able to maintain her weight for her entire adult life. I think that's pretty spectacular. I think that
it's
should be
incredible.
But society puts us at only listen to the person who's lost the weight. And we need to listen to all the people. We need to hear all the stories. Whether you've lost weight or not lost weight, maybe you've been underweight and you have found fasting and you weren't feeling well and it has put you at your ideal weight and you feel like $1 million. There's all the sides to all the stories, and we should all be comfortable, which I am now finally able to share it.
And, you know, coming on and doing things like the podcast or sharing in one of our social media communities and talking about it in there could be a, you know, a crutch for maybe not really feeling too comfortable sharing with your inner circle outside of your, you know, I would assume your husband. I feel that too. I go to a gym and, you know, if I bring it up, if somebody's talking about losing weight and I see them in there every day, busting their rear end and nothing's happening and they're frustrated. And I just want to go up to them and hug them and say, I can help you. It's so easy. But at the same time, I feel like that's an immense invasion of, you know, not just your personal space, but it's like weight loss is such a sensitive topic and I don't want to offend anyone and I don't want to ruffle any feathers. And God forbid somebody hears the word fasting, you know, and it's like, if they're not really open-minded, they're going to think I'm starving myself. And I don't want to portray that. I don't want anyone to think that. And hello, do I look like I'm starving myself? I mean, no. I think it's just getting everybody to the point where they can really understand the science behind it. Because once you start to understand the science behind it, and everyone maybe will get to that point. But at this point, we're like, what, 7-8 years into intermittent fasting being kind of on the more, getting more mainstream. And people are twisting it. Like, I can't even believe. It's like, let's get back to the basics. Clean fasting. That is all you need to do. You need to clean fast. You don't need to diet. You don't need to work out until you can't, you know, lift a finger, until your body hurts so bad you can't get up. All you got to do is clean fast every day and move your body in some way. Some way.
How amazing is that?
And simple.
You know, people are looking for like a quick, easy fix. There's no quick, easy fix. But if you want something that's a little bit easier and gentler on your body, and maybe can, mine, this changed my brain.
Right.
Like, what else? Like, what else can we tell you? So if I bring it up, it's more or less because people do know about some of the digestive issues, but they might be thinking, well, I don't have digestive issues, not realizing that I can help them. So I just refer them to the book right now, because right now I'm all about the feeling and I'm all about that type of thing. I'm not a science-y person. I'm used to working with like kindergarten kids. So it is literally about all the feels.
Yeah.
You know, it's not science-y. It's all about like love. And but what has brought about this is, you know, all the awareness too, is like the love and the gratitude. So when I see somebody who needs help, I just feel like, oh, I can help you. I've also had to deal with all the things too. This is kind of awkward. And a friend and I were talking about this the other day, and my husband has had it in a different form. His was more about, I guess, you know, physique. Mine would be about if I say I was cold, people at work would be like, well, you know, and then they would make a comment about like my size. And I would be like, well, I'll just go put a coat on. Maybe I'm just cold because I'm cold. You know, it was just a typical conversation or lunchroom. Somebody might come in and make a comment about my lunch, but I'm not making comments about theirs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. People are,
and and I don't think they mean to be rude, but I had another friend who told me, she's like, I had somebody tell me one time to go eat a burger. I said, someone said that to you? She's like, yeah, I don't know why they feel like it's okay to comment, because we would never comment the other way, nor should we. Like, literally keep your comments to yourself. If you can't be nice.
It's like, you can't, exactly. It's the golden rule. We learned it in kindergarten. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing. A society, it's like we damn the people who are overweight, and then we damn them for being too thin, or what we think is too thin or too overweight. And I just got to wonder, you know, what is good enough? Like, what is going to be acceptable? And I think the answer there is there is nothing that's going to be acceptable to society. And that is why you need to throw it in the garbage that you're trying to live up to some impossible standard that society is putting on us. Why?
And if you feel like it may be a compliment, but it's coming across as backhanded, then it is. If you want to compliment me, then say something nice and I will graciously receive it and say thank you. It was weighing on me. It wasn't, yeah. It was just adding, actually, it was adding to all the other things.
Yeah. Just because, and we assume as society that just because someone is thin, that they are healthy and that they've never had a problem with anything, with weight, with health, nothing. And they're just thin and healthy and wonderful and everything. Life is peaches and roses. And that's total, sorry, it's bullshit. You know, I know tons of people who are thin that are very unhealthy. Just because you see somebody out there that is thin, don't assume that they don't have health problems. Don't assume anything, because that person has their own set of issues. So it's really important to not judge a book by its cover, as we know. Let's talk about something that you had brought up a few minutes ago, and that was your husband.
Yeah.
And so how long have you guys been married?
Tomorrow it will be 23 years.
Well, happy anniversary. My anniversary is on Sunday. That's
wonderful. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. November weddings.
How long for you guys?
12 years. 12 years. Nice. Not as long. Yeah. But I was wondering, does your husband also fast with you?
Yes. He has been for, so we've been married for 23, together for 25. Very, very accepting of anything that I was doing. He was, and I have to admit, I'm not the main cook in the house. So he was very helpful too, because it's supportive, because he does so much of the cooking. We grocery shop together. So think about all those times where I was doing something, on some type of plant. That would affect him.
And he's
got to
change, his plants. Yeah. Oh, no.
So there were times where I was cooking, or he was helping me cook two different things. Okay. Oh, well, you guys all want pasta. Well, I guess I'm going to have mine with spaghetti squash or zucchini. Not going to lie. Still like that.
It's
but
good.
Now it's not, I have to. Now it's I get to.
Yeah.
There's so much more I get to than I have to. So it's awesome. He would probably be, I hope he notices. I've told him since he started fasting, he's been more serious about it. Maybe in, I'm going to just give it about 6 months, because he was having like maybe a dollop of honey in his coffee, you know, or maybe he would have a bite, like it was later in the morning, a bite of banana before going to the gym, because, you know, we were taught you have to have something.
You're going to die. Don't
and
go
I was
to
like, he sees me like doing all the stuff fasted. He sees some of the changes in me. So even though I'm a smaller person, I've noticed like the skin on my neck getting a little bit tighter. I've had a visible reduction in cellulite on the back of my leg. So I'm only 5'2". I don't even know what I weigh. I'm going to guess anywhere between 102 and 105 pounds, but
you're petite.
I'm like my bones and everything are small. So even before I started going to the gym, like I was probably one of those unhealthy, skinnier people. If you see me and you were like, if I told you what I weighed, people would probably be like, no, because I'm more on the fit side versus the thin side.
Right.
But with him, I've noticed he's also a couple years younger than me. So he's got that on his side. When he started fasting, I was like, wow, your muscle definition, like his biceps and his abs, and he's got already has really nice legs because he was a soccer player all his, you know, childhood and lots into his adult life. So he's always been like super fit, but like I was like, holy cow. Like, so he's had and we don't even know what he weighs either. I got rid of the scale many years ago because all this other stuff that was going on in my brain, add that on, that messed me up.
The scale could be such a demonizing thing.
Yeah. And for me, it was. So in my house, I was like, well, I'm in charge of this. I'm in charge of this one. This is going out.
That's so important. Let's go back. You're in charge. So if you feel like you don't want to get on the scale every day, listen, you don't have to. It is just one form of measuring your progress. It's not the most important form. It's just one form.
It is.
If it determines your day, get rid of it.
Yep. And it was, and it was clearly for me, if my patterns that you can see from everything that we've talked about, that it would have an impact on my day. Mm-hmm. So I would be like, what? And I would let it like just decide for me how maybe I was going to feel about myself for the rest of the day. And I have always been fairly confident, especially if it's about my work or if I'm talking about something that I'm well versed on. But deep down inside, I was like, oh, I knew I needed some work. I needed to like know my worth. I needed to get a better self image because it was wavering. Some days it would be like good. I was letting other things decide what my self image would be. Our self image needs to be amazing every day. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, totally.
We have to work on that. But yeah, having my husband fasting with me, I work outside of the home. Well, we'll see because I'm done in a week and a half. We'll see what I'm going to do. But I work outside of the home. He works at home. So we were all on different schedules anyway. But traveling is so much easier because we both do it.
It is so easy, isn't it?
If we're driving somewhere, we just go.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about stuff. Because before, I would have a cooler packed of food for both of us because we were both eating 5 to 6 small meals a day.
Oh, gosh.
Holy cow.
Yeah, like, right?
There's some more freedom.
So you much know? Freedom. The traveling is really easy when you're fasted. You said 16 hours earlier. Are you still doing that kind of, what does your schedule look like? Are you kind of mixing every day up? How are you doing your schedule?
I started with that first, 2 months at about 16.
Okay.
When I got rid of the apple cider vinegar or the lemon, I was like easily 17, nothing under. And I'm one of those weird ones that counts my fasted hours and not my window. I know it's probably easier to count the window because it's less time. It's the way my brain works. My brain loves it. So I'm like, I'm going to go with what my brain loves. So nothing ever under 17. And then that was probably within the first 6 months. Then after that, I was like, am I just eating because it says that I've gone 17 hours? Mm-hmm. I'm not hungry. Mm. So now I have a goal because I'm goal oriented. I'm quite goal driven. So before it was feeling like the goal had its hold on me and I had to do the things. Now I feel like I have a hold on the goal. So if my goal is usually nothing under 19. That's just where I naturally want to go. But if I'm hungry at 18, I'll eat at 18.
You're going to listen. Yeah.
I'm all over the place. Or if I've had a weekend. So last weekend we were celebrating because, you know, holy cow, I had handed in my letter of resignation and my husband had his birthday and our friends came down. So if I have a weekend that's like, ooh, you know, I'm still fasting, but I feel full, then I just won't. I'll bring a lunch to work, but if I eat it, I eat it. If I don't, I don't. I just listen to my body.
Listen to your body. So
I can be anywhere in between that 17, but mostly 19 to 22.
Okay.
It all depends
on the day. You're in my fasting group, so I'm sure you've seen this. People want to know, especially newbies, what is your fasting protocol? What is your, like, oh, they'll see the results. What did you do? I want to know exactly what you did. But the problem with that is that what Lisa did isn't going to work for somebody else, isn't going to work for somebody else. It might work somewhat, but what you need to find what works for you. For Lisa, it really works for her to mix it up every day, but she has a goal that she sticks to. She doesn't want to go anything under 19 hours. So I like that. And you said you have control over the goal now, not the goal having control over you. I really, really like that. That is such a powerful statement. I really want everyone to focus on that, because if you let your goal take over you, I almost feel like you're never going to get anywhere. Or you might, but then you're going to hit a wall. So if you change your mindset to that, that goal is mine and I'm in control, everything changes. Everything changes.
The power is within us.
Absolutely.
And so that's why I even said, I love that 19-hour goal, because that's just the thing that I can put into my app, because I like to collect a little bit of data. It's the thing. I don't even look at the data very often, but I'm like, oh, I kind of like hitting that button. But if I'm hungry at 18 or around there, my body is trying to tell me something. Maybe that's where I'm at in my cycle. I don't know. So I'll just listen. But I know that if I'm hungry at 9 o'clock in the morning, that I'm not really hungry. I know that I'm probably thirsty.
Oh yeah.
Or that I need to, like, my stomach just is digesting something. I know what real hunger is. And you know, I just had a realization. I was coming into this thinking, I got to get a hold of this appetite correction. I know that it's going to hit me any day. After talking to you about this and what I have just said, because it come out of my mouth naturally, I am experiencing appetite correction, because I can eat and move that window anywhere I want because I'm listening to my body. I think what I need is sugar correction, because I like myself some treats.
I mean, listen, we all do. We all do. We all like sugar. And if I had to tell you that if that's the one thing that's common, a common like connector between everyone, that's like, oh, I think it's probably this. I don't really want to say it because I don't want to give up my treats, but it's probably this. It probably is. But that doesn't mean you have to give up sugar altogether.
Right. So, because if I did, I would be going back to that old, because I had diet brain.
Yeah.
I was a person who didn't need to be on a diet, who was always on a diet. That is just, that sounds so wacky to me now. But so I was living in diet brain. So if I give it up completely, I think that I could fall back into some old patterns. And I'm liking my new habits. I'm liking the stacking of these new habits that I have. I'm quite enjoying them. So I don't want to fully go back to that. So I'd be like, okay, you know what? I'm good without, I'm never going to ever say no to a good quality piece of dark chocolate. That's in my window every day. Good. It is part of the plan.
So good.
I love it. It's not hurting me. It's not making my stomach upset. It's not doing anything to me. But if it's like a dessert that's maybe a little bit more sugary or whatever, that might make me feel a little bit gut rotty after, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to have that for, I'm going to delay that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because denying is what I did.
Yeah. No, it really just like the freedom you experience from knowing that you can have it, just we're going to delay it. But also, once you get really far into your journey where you are, you start to kind of like, do I want that cupcake? It looks kind of cheap. It looks like it came from the grocery store. How's that going to make me feel after I eat it? Oh, wait, that's going to make me feel like trash. Nope, actually, I don't want it. But the good chocolate, I'll take that because it makes me feel normal and it makes me feel satisfied and wonderful and it's delicious.
I love that you just said that, because we went to a bakery the other day and we brought home, so my parents were coming over, and this pan of homemade from this bakery brownies was like, wow, it just looked beautiful. And I knew that it was going to be shared. I knew that it wasn't, you know, just for my husband and I and my kids. I was like, I'm going to share this. This is quality. I'm telling you, when I ate that and I did not feel yucky because it was made with quality ingredients, I said, that was worth it. And you're right. The grocery store cupcake. No, we even talked about it. I said, does this actually taste like cocoa? I can actually taste, because sometimes you get like something like a little mini brownie. I'm like, I'm tasting like flour and maybe a little bit of sugar. I'm not really tasting much. So then I'm like, well, that wasn't even good.
Yeah.
That was worth it.
Totally.
So then there's that freedom to not feel the guilt.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And if you're struggling with sugar, if you don't want to give it up, a great episode to listen to. It's coming out for everyone this Friday. However, it is out for my Patreon members. It is with Netta Gorman, and she specializes with either helping people moderate their sugar intake or totally abstain from it. It's a great informational episode for anyone who is wondering whether or not to do that, whether or not to just cut it from their life. It really depends on your personality type, or to moderate it. And what Lisa and I'm a moderator and Lisa's a moderator. And so what I'm going to leave you with, because you said that your sugar intake is concerning you, besides the quality of the sugar, is that if you are getting the appropriate amount of protein every day, I am not telling you to count macros at all. I'm telling you to keep an eye on your protein, up it. If you up your protein, after about 2-3 weeks, you will start to notice your cravings for sugar will go down. And it's because your body is receiving the nutrient, the number one most important nutrient that it needs first. And your body doesn't go like straight to the, oh, give me some sugar, give me some sugar. So it's just something to try and put in your pocket. But I think you have appetite correction. I think you're already there.
I think I am. And I think that I am there. Okay. So I took almost 30 years to develop all that other stuff that was going on. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to take like a year and a half off that, because I've been doing this for a year and a half, living this lifestyle that I don't ever want to give up. I also think sometimes that old paradigm or habit might scoop back in and say, that's too much sugar because I'm used to demonizing things. Maybe that's actually just new appetite. My body saying, okay, let's become aware. This is actually appetite correction. No, you're fine. Mm-hmm. You're okay.
That's appetite that correction. For it's you. Part of it. You're there.
And it's yeah. That's learning awesome. Something new every day.
You
love it.
Did. And you're there. And appetite correction is a glorious thing. It's not just about knowing when to stop. It's knowing how to listen to your body and the foods that are going to serve you the best and the foods that you are going to feel like crap afterwards. So it's this giant puzzle. And I'm so happy that you realize that, because you've come so far in a year and a half, and it's not just about weight loss. It's about all of these health issues that you've overcome. You've overcome them through fasting. And so it's really important for anyone listening to understand that if you are not needing to lose weight, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a clean bill of health. It doesn't.
Fasting is freedom also from so many other things. Like maybe you need to fast from the news for a little bit. Maybe we need to fast from certain groups of people that we're hanging out with for a little bit to help us clear our minds.
Isn't that interesting?
It's not all just about food.
It's not. It leads you, and I'm not saying you, but us in general, everyone who fasts, it leads us to a place where we don't want toxic people in our life. We don't want toxic food in our life. We don't want anything that's going to steal our joy. And it brings you to a better place, not just physically, not just health, but mentally. And I'm loving this. I'm loving that we're talking about the mental clarity and just all the confidence you've received from your fasting journey. So congratulations.
Thank you. I am so grateful. And, you know, I could say that I wish I would have found it sooner, but I must have been at the place that I was in at the time that I needed to be in to receive the information.
I believe that too. Sometimes you have to just wait to get to that very spot. And maybe, just maybe, it's somebody out there listening right now who is either overweight or unhealthy, or maybe both. And they've been considering fasting, obviously, because they're listening to my podcast, but they're hesitant, they're scared, they might be skeptical. What would you say to them to push them?
It just seems so silly for me to say it. Just do it.
Just do it.
Really, what do you have to lose? First of all, lots. You have lots to lose.
Just like bad stuff.
Bad stuff and everything to gain. And this is coming from me, who have had a complete like mental health makeover, internal self-image like makeover from me stumbling upon this. Look, just amazing. Googling some stuff about my thyroid. So I would just say, do it. Or if somebody mentions it to you, just hear them out. Just listen, because nobody's starving themselves. Most people who are involved in fasting actually really love to eat, because it works for volume eaters. It works for people who have big appetites. It works for people who have small appetites. It works for anybody. And
absolutely.
I had, like, I was unhealthy on the inside in my brain, even though my physical body, to everybody, even into myself in the mirror, looked healthy. I knew that there was something else, and that wasn't enough, and that there was something else out there for me. So it can change you for all, like, for the better, for all the good things.
It will. It will
yep.
change you. It
just
will
do
change
it.
You. You have to just start, though, and you have to stay committed. You have to start and not look back. So, Lisa, thank you again so much for coming on. It really, like, it takes a lot of vulnerability and openness, especially as your first time telling your whole story. So I hope you feel a little bit of sense of relief, like it's all off your chest.
I do. I feel great. And it was super, this is super vulnerable for me, because people probably have no clue that that's what I was going through. That's why you don't know people's stories. So just be nice, right?
Just be nice.
Just don't know.
Just be nice, people. Come on, yep. Just be nice. You can do it. Lisa, thanks again. I, from the bottom of my heart, I know how hard it is to share this stuff. So thank you for coming on. Enjoy the rest of your day in your winter wonderland up there in Canada. You know, I'm so jealous down here in the, we have rain, like tropical weird weather going on down here. So
I'm a Floridian by heart, to be honest.
You would love it down
still,
here.
Yeah, luckily it's still fall here, so it's beautiful.
That's okay. Well, that's still beautiful, and I'm still jealous. So thank you again. This was so much fun, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Bye, hun.
Bye.
Thanks everyone for listening today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Follow me on Instagram at Clean Fasting Mama. If you would like to hear more on my story or sign up for my newsletter, please visit fastandfabulouspodcast.com. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave me a review. Fast on, friends.